Welcome to the Sooners Extra Podcast, powered by the Oklahoma, and I'm your host, Ryan Aber, here high above Owen Field, joined remotely from his home in Norman. He got to make the drive back after the game. He was out here, but by columnist Barry Trammell. And Barry, Saturday night in right here, OU 62-9 over Kansas, seemed to be exactly what you want to do to a team like the Jayhawks.
Yeah, you know, Kansas is hapless. I think it's the worst Kansas team I've seen in the last 10 years or 11 years of this Great Depression. I'm no expert. I try to avoid all Kansas games. But they're clearly not very good. But this is what a good team should do to Kansas. Dominate them in the first half, and then don't lose interest and dominate them in the second half. And that's what OU did. And so, you know, the defense really got after the freshman quarterback, Jalen Daniels. The offense was not as crisp, I didn't think, as maybe the last week or two. But really, Ramondre Stevenson played great. He looks like a difference maker. And you go to Rattler. Spencer Rattler didn't play great, but, you know, he did end up doing fine. So a good day for the Sooners. If you drew it up, it wouldn't be much different than what you got.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's start off with the defense there. You mentioned, Barry, they were able to make life difficult on Kansas. Nine sacks from, let's see, what was it? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven different players. Nick Benito had three of the sacks, a really good performance from him. And they just seem to be settling into much more of a rhythm than they were a few weeks ago. Clearly, a lot of that or a big chunk of that can be attributed to Ronnie Perkins' return. But it goes beyond Ronnie Perkins, what they're doing right now.
Yeah, you know, this is a unit, this line and, you know, the rush ends, or they call them linebackers. But, you know, the guys that play on the line played really well before Perkins got back. I think he's elevated the whole unit. He's their best player. You add a good – you put the best player back on a good unit and you got something special. And Benito and Perkins coming from opposite sides, and then you get a pretty good push from the likes of Isaiah Thomas and others with lots of depth. You got something cool. So I think this is a really good it was a really good line to start with, and it's really developing. So Jalen Daniels, the Kansas freshman quarterback, he might be a good player at some point, but he was put in an awful position. Second play of the game, he rolls out, and here's Ronnie Perkins coming right at him. So he has to throw the ball sort of away. So really the way it was all day. 15 or 16 times he was either sacked or hurried. So he was running for his life. And that's what you want to do to an inexperienced quarterback and take control of the game. That's what they did.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Nick Benito, as we mentioned, three sacks. Also had two quarterback hurries. Ronnie Perkins had three more hurries. So, yeah, they had Jalen Daniels scrambling all over the field. Also, Bear, we got to see some young players on the defense from early in this game at really all levels, but I thought most notably there at linebacker with Shane Witter and Brennan Walker, two freshmen, getting some extended time in there and making plays and not making them just at the end of the game when, you know, they're just trying to run out the clock.
Yeah, and that's another thing you want when you play at Kansas. You want to do that, and you want to get young guys in. We saw it a little bit on offense. We saw two quarterbacks lead, counting Rattler, it'd be three quarterbacks lead scoring drives. Tanner Mordecai came in and did a nice job. He basically played three full possessions, and the Sooners scored twice, two touchdown drives. And then Chandler Morris had a touchdown drive at the end of the game, a touchdown run, in fact. So, to me, that's always a plus when you play Kansas. Sometimes you screw around. 2 years ago when the final was 55-40 and they had the game the whole night, they just really couldn't put it away, and you don't get to do it. Today, 62-9, you get to do it.
Yeah, and they did it from early in this game. Woody Washington makes his second start. One of the more interesting things on defense is they inserted David Agwebu into the starting lineup for Deshaun White. Alex French said after the game that Deshaun White was a little bit banged up, although he played here today. But David Agwebu, the sophomore, gets a chance to start for the second time in his OU career, had one start last year. So they're building depth in this group and more guys that they can trust. We've seen the depth in the line on the defensive side significantly all year. And, heck, we even see it now with the LaRon Stokes being out the last couple games. They're still able to rotate so many guys in there. I mean, you just look at their stat sheet and the defensive linemen that make an impact here. I mean, you go – Perkins, Benito, Josh Ellison, Corey Roberson made a couple of good plays down there. We saw Reggie Grimes early in the game. So they've got quite a few guys right now that can make some plays. And who would have thought here going into Bedlam that we'd be talking about these both defenses playing the way that they are right now?
Yeah, now, unlike OSU, this is not – the defense is not the strength of this team.
Well,
not
right.
yet. But no. It is playing pretty well. And you go back to where they were early in the season, K-State game, Iowa State game, was not a very good defense. They've gotten a lot better. They played pretty well at Texas. They played well with Tech. They played well at TCU. So, three straight good games, and that's what you want. And – if you count Kansas, it's four straight. So, and OSU should not. The great thing about Bedlam for the Sooners is that doesn't set up as a huge test for the Oklahoma defense. You go into that game thinking, you know, this defense can hold them down. So, you got to feel pretty confident about where this Oklahoma team is going and the way the Big 12 has sort of shaken out. You know, a pretty good chance of them getting to Arlington.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more probably in the second segment. But, Barry, what you mentioned right there brought to mind your Big 12 efficiency ratings. And OU is going to be pretty solid there with, in your calculation, 1.5 scores on 15 drives for the Jayhawks.
Had a lot of possessions for both teams. It was an insufferably long game. You know, thanks to Kansas' 8-minute drive at the end, our game ended about, I don't know, minute or two earth minutes before OSU's game did. OSU started 30 minutes later. But, yeah, 15 possessions and you give up a field goal on the last play of the first half, a touchdown on the last play of the second half. At one point, you know, you were ahead by 31 points. The other time you were ahead by 59 points. So, you know, to me, pretty dang good performance by the defense. If they continue to develop, they're going to give the Sooners, a pretty good chance of winning a sixth straight Big 12 title. What I like is this, and it just looks to me like the Lincoln Riley recruiting, we talked about it when Lincoln got hired, and even more so a year or so into his era. It looks like they're recruiting better. They're not all getting a bunch of Alabama linebackers, but it looks like the general recruiting upgrade is taking place, and we see that because it looks like they've got more players that can play. It looks like they've got, we know they've got 7 or 8 defensive linemen that they like. It looks like they got 7 or 8 DBs that you can count on. And then some linebackers. So I think we're seeing a general upgrade in Oklahoma football. The COVID and then those two losses sort of skewered everybody's vision of exactly where the Sooners are. But this was a rebuilding year. So, by OU standards, So I think the general movement of Oklahoma football is very strong.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, heck, you just look at their participation chart, especially on the defensive side. And like you mentioned, it's not like they're, bringing in, Gerald McCoy types or those guys that Alabama and Clemson have flying around on defense. But it's hard to recruit, especially defensive linemen in this league. But you look at the overall trajectory of their recruiting classes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And just in these last couple of recruiting classes in the starting lineup, you've got Josh Ellison, David Agwebu, Woody Washington on the field to start tonight. And then, guys that played on defense a fairly significant amount. You've got Reggie Grimes, Josh Eaton. Going on down the list, Jaden Davis is still a young player. Perrion Winfrey, obviously, DJ Graham, Bryson Washington, Bryant Darby. I mean, on and on and on. They've got young players who are coming in to contribute. Now, they've got to keep developing these guys, especially in the secondary. We've seen guys over the past few years come in and play really quickly in the secondary, have success, and then they regress from there. Obviously, this is a different coaching staff on that side of the ball, but the signs are positive for them heading in the right direction. And you start just talking about this season, positive signs, and not only you talk about the young players, but also the fact that they're finally finishing off turnovers and making those happen. What was it? I guess it was the two tonight, the two interceptions in the first quarter. But those are plays that the Sooners haven't finished much the last couple years.
Yeah, when it comes to takeaways, turnovers, takeaways, they become sort of normal. And that's all you really want when you're as prolific as they are offensively. If you just don't constantly get beat in the turnover game, you're going to win most of the time. And, the two turnovers, what was it, three takeaways last week, I think it was.
Three.
And tonight, two, both in the first quarter, a nice diving interception by Trey Brown and then a long run back by Brendan Radley-Hiles. So, taking the ball away, and some of that is the product of that defensive pressure up front, making quarterbacks throw the ball when they don't want to, making people, make split-second decisions always helps inflate the takeaways when you're able to affect a quarterback like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we're going to take a break here really quick on the Sooners Extra podcast. We'll be back on the other side of the break with talking more about the offense, the future for the Sooners, and what this game means. Thank you so much for joining us, the Sooners Extra podcast, powered by the Oklahoma. Welcome back to the Sooners Extra Podcast, powered by the Oklahoma. And I'm your host, Ryan Aber, here with Barry Trammell. And, first of all, I want to mention, if you can hear a lawnmower sound in the background, it's actually leaf blowers that they use in the stadium to clean things up after the game. And they're awfully loud, even though I am very high above Owen Field here. So I apologize for that. But, Barry, let's talk about – I want to talk about something you mentioned you didn't mention this directly, but you mentioned Brendan Radley-Hiles with the interception in the first quarter. And the way that play ended was awfully strange. Kansas gets the ball back. A player who was out of bounds for Kansas reaches around, knocks the ball out. It looked like it knocked it off of Radley-Hiles' leg and back into the field of play. And I don't know that there was many people that realize that even if a player's out of bounds, he can force a fumble like that.
Yeah, it's, when we see things we've never seen before, and Lincoln Riley said he literally had never seen that play before or even thought about it. So he didn't claim to be an expert. But when you see something you've never seen, you liken it to something you have seen. And so we likened it to basketball. And if you're playing basketball and you're on defense, the other team has the ball, and you're trapping a guy in the corner, for instance, and you get your hand on the ball, well, if you're out of bounds, whistle blows. It's out of bounds off you. You can't touch the ball while you're out of bounds. So we think, hey, wait, that's not right in football. But turns out it's not against the rules. It's not a situation at all. So it was very, very odd. Lincoln said he talked to the officials at length, and they were adamant that they called it right, that a defender can touch the ball while he's out of bounds. You went through the rule book during the game, and you found nothing to indicate they didn't get it right. So it's just a strange, strange play. Just too bad that Radley Hiles had to lose the ball and sort of mess up what was a really nice play by him. A run-through interception, a 37-yard return. That's the kind of thing you want to capitalize on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And at that point, you start wondering, you know, is this going to be one of those games where they let a team that has no business hanging around hang around? They didn't, but our friend Joe Bettner from the Norman Transcript actually reached out to Big 12 officiating coordinator Greg Burks, and Greg said exactly what we just talked about, that if the ball is loose, if the defender's out of bounds, the ball's still considered inbounds and alive as long as there's no extended touching of the ball after the forced fumble and the loose ball situation. So that was an interesting play for sure, Barry. But let's talk about the offense a little bit more. You mentioned at the very top, but Ramondre Stevenson seems to have changed the dynamic of this offense significantly these last couple weeks. Another really good game from him. The receiving element that he added tonight with what was 4 catches for 60 yards, I think, was big. Some blocking there for him as well. And all of a sudden, it seems like there's no question who the number one running back on this team is.
Well, no. And what's interesting to me is how the whole dichotomy of OU tailbacks has changed. When they were missing Stevenson, we didn't anticipate, you know, a huge, huge difference maker. We just thought, here's a short yardage guy who could help him bowl for 3 yards. That's mostly what we saw out of Stevenson last year when they had Kennedy Burks and Trey Sermon.
Let's say this. He did average 8 yards per carry last year.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, you're right. He didn't do it with 40, you know, by going 40 and 3, 3, 3, 40. He did it by going, you know, 7, 9, 10.
And, yeah, he was just grinding it out.
Right. But what we've seen so far through 2 games is a pretty nimble big back. You mentioned the screen passes today. He was making people miss. He bounded off a couple of guys also, no doubt about it. But he was making some people miss. Now, I'm not saying he's Marcus Dupree. He's not going to win a track meet. But he's a big guy who actually has some moves and – can sort of get some things done in the open field, which is why those screen passes were so effective. And that means everything is completely different about this Oklahoma offense if you got a tailback like that.
Yeah, and it seems to take a lot of pressure off of Spencer Rattler too. And he's got some guys that do take some pressure off of him, especially in Austin Stogner, as we've seen, and Jeremiah Hall. But Stevenson adds a different element to that, and also with his ability to run the ball on the ground, the problems that got magnified against Iowa State and Kansas State in that loss, and to a certain degree, that Texas game even, aren't as major now because of what Stevenson's able to do.
Yeah, and, you know, I got thinking about this. I was talking about it with a guy from OU earlier in the week. You know, Kansas State game, I don't think Ramondre Stevenson makes a difference because they had that game and they just let down. But you look at that Iowa State game. Sooners kicked 3 field goals, and they weren't 56-yard bombs by Gabe Burkitz. They were constantly threatening, opening drive of the game, they get down there inside the five, first and goal, and settle for a field goal. If you got Ramondre Stevenson, you figure they're going to punch it in a time or two extra. And he might have made the difference in Ames. Now, again, no excuses for the Kansas State game. But he's the kind of a void that was missing against Iowa State. And I think he's going to really he's improved the offense in a lot of ways, but the short yardage offense in particular, I think he's really going to help.
Well, although Barry, I will say this about that Kansas State game. You know, they had to punt the ball three times in the fourth quarter of that game. A couple times with just a three and out, and then a five play drive there. You know, if they just pick up another first down or two there,
maybe they do run the ball more in that fourth quarter, shorten the game. Don't give K-State that much time to stage a comeback from 21 points down. That's a good point.
Yeah, so let's see here. Just looking real quick, you know, OU only rushed the ball in the fourth quarter of that game six times for 14 yards. So
yeah, not good.
Turn that around not a little good. Bit when you're talking about a guy who averages 8 yards a carry. That could have made a difference for sure.
Yeah, so they're a better team than they were, but you know, everybody in this COVID crazy year could say that on some level. So I think it's a situation of Ramondre Stevenson is better than we thought, and we thought he was pretty good. So I like what we've seen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he's a difference-making kind of a back. We'll see if he's able to continue that, but there's no indication that he won't be able to from everything that he's done during his time at OU. He just – all of a sudden now doesn't have Kennedy Brooks and Trey Sermon ahead of him to make that big of a difference. Barry, what did you think about Spencer Rattler's play today? Decision-making is a little bit shakier than the last couple games, including the interception. But even outside of that, a couple of passes that maybe weren't as crisp as we've seen from him. Gets the hip injury on a rushing touchdown that he had where it looked like he had every opportunity sort of avoid the contact a little bit like that. And I think it was a first and goal on that play, I think, from the two. Either first and goal or second and goal.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't know why he decided to take on that guy. He just, I thought he could have just sprinted to the corner more and that'd been a touchdown easy. But overall, I thought his game was so-so. I thought – you know, he didn't really sense a pass rusher in the second drive of the game. Gets hit from behind, fumbles. I think it was Stogner, I think, jumped on the ball to save the drive.
Yeah.
Then he makes a bad decision, throwing against his body while scrambling, interception. Later he tries to hit Rambo on a relatively short out pattern in coverage, and it should have been intercepted there. So – it's a case of he ended up decent, but I thought it was not his. I thought it was his worst game of the previous three. So, that's going to happen. He's still a young quarterback, so he's going to have some poor games. And I thought this was one of his poorer ones.
Yeah, I agree with you there. 15-27, 212 yards, a touchdown. One interception, did have the rushing touchdown there. Three yards on three carries for Spencer Rattler there. But OU's offense for the second straight week gets another lift. Didn't see a lot of them tonight, but Jaden Hazelwood returns, does have a 33-yard catch. I believe that was from Tanner Mordecai, if I'm not mistaken, there late in the game. Good for the Sooners to get Hazelwood back. He was a guy who looked like he might be a number one type of receiver before his knee injury cut his season short.
Yeah, and it's just in the nick of time because this team is so short of receivers. I feel bad for him. It's almost like he's been supplanted as the star of the future. He misses, what, five games? Is that right? Or maybe it's six. But misses six games. And Marvin Mims is there to supplant him as the heir apparent to the legacy of great OU receivers. So I do think Hazelwood's a fabulous player. I do think he's a little rusty. So I think it's going to work out for him. Lincoln Riley said, hey, the bye week's going to be best for Jaden Hazelwood. So really nice comeback to get back this quick from such a catastrophic injury. He'll only help this team, but it's not like they needed a bunch of help at wide receiver.
Yeah, and, you know, we see, like I mentioned, Stevenson with the four catches tonight. Austin Stogner comes back and has a really strong game. We'll see what his status is after he got banged up and didn't go back in the game, but the game was relatively out of hand at that point. You know, another solid performance from Theo Weiss. Mims, two catches, 30 yards. So, heck, Drake Stoops, a couple more catches. Jeremiah Hall. So, this receiving group looks pretty deep right now for them, which, you know, no big surprise there. But, Barry, before we wrap this up, let's talk about the Sooners' Big 12 title hopes. Seem to be lost after losing there to Iowa State, dropping 0-2 in the Big 12. But with everything that we've seen over the last couple weeks, including Oklahoma State winning today against Kansas State, that dynamic seems to be shifting more and more to the Sooners' favor if, and this is an if they're able to win out, which the biggest hurdle would appear to be in 2 weeks against the Cowboys.
It's certainly looking strong. Now, they don't, you know, none of the two lost teams, which we're talking about, OU, Texas, now Kansas State, none of those have their own destiny in their hands. But if the Sooners do win out, they're assured of no worse than a tie for second. And tiebreakers could break their way, particularly if OSU wins out. So, you know, if Sooners take care of business, they're probably going to be in Arlington. That's the best way to say it. Couple things could, you know, if Kansas State were to win out, that would hurt the cause. But K-State still got to play Iowa State, still got to play Texas. In general, Sooners are in great shape. Iowa State and OSU are going to be the only one-loss teams remaining in the league. Iowa State held off Baylor tonight. OSU came back and beat K-State. So the fact that the Sooners have Bedlam in front of them really makes for a solid, solid path to get to Arlington.
Yeah, it does. So that puts much more of the emphasis – well, not that it's not a massive game anyway, but Bedlam becomes that much bigger with what OU has been able to do since then. And, Barry, I was wondering if you were jumping the gun a little bit on that Iowa State result, but it appears like the Cyclones have held off Baylor there with a late interception. So,
yeah, I was watching it while I was talking. So
okay, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
The game was still going on as we started this podcast. So
yeah, old Baylor put up a good fight. Iowa State, you know, I thought Iowa State had the best chance and still does, but you know, it's a case of the best team, the team most people would pick to win the Big 12 right now, it remains OU. So you know, an Oklahoma Iowa State rematch, most people would pick the Sooners. An OU Texas rematch, most people would pick the Sooners. An OU K-State rematch, most people would pick the Sooners. Bedlam, most people would pick the Sooners. So they probably got, you know, they probably still had the best chance to win the Big 12. But, you know, they need to take care of business, and things will probably work out for them.
Yeah, they do. But we'll see what happens here in 2 weeks against the Cowboys right here at Owen Field. Hopefully we'll figure out Monday what time that game's going to be played. But today, Oklahoma beats Kansas 62-9 here to stretch their winning streak. What do we got, Barry? We got is it four now? Four in a row that they've won.
Yeah, they went 1-2 to 5-2. 1-2 to 5-2.
So a good bounce back for the Sooners, but the competition certainly takes a massive step up here in a couple weeks. But I think the bye week comes at a good time for the Sooners. But we're going to wrap that up here from Norman. Thank you so much for joining us on the Sooners Extra Podcast powered by the Oklahoman. You can check out our work every day at Oklahoman.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.